On the Media is supported by MailChimp, celebrating creativity, chaos, and teamwork since 2001. MailChimp, email marketing for everyone.
We've been talking about hacks and hackers, but do we really know what hacking means? OTM producer Alex Goldman says, probably not.
It seems like over the past couple of years, we are constantly hearing stories about high-profile hacks.
A British tabloid is being accused tonight of going much too far to get a story. Mark Phillips reports the newspaper hacked into the phone messages of a missing 13-year-old girl.
Guessing voicemail passwords? Not really a hack.
Supporters of the whistleblowing website and its controversial founder, Julian Assange, are targeting government and private websites that have taken action against WikiLeaks.
Denial of service attack on a website? Not a hack either.
A Tennessee college student has been indicted for allegedly hacking into the private email account of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
That college student made an educated guess at Palin's password. Sorry, not a hack. Fast Company's Adam Pennenberg wrote that journalists use the word hack as lazy shorthand and because it sounds so cool.
I can tell you, talking to people when they say, I was hacked, there's almost like a secret joy in it. I was important enough to have someone try to penetrate my systems. I was hacked. A lot of these hacks happen to be denial of service attacks. It's like having a million people call the same phone number and all you're going to get is a busy signal. Is that really a hack? Is the fact that News of the World access people's voicemails illegally, is it a hack when all they really did was guess people's passwords or find a really simple way around the voicemail security?
So then what is hacking? Let's trace the term back about five decades to a student club at MIT called the Tech Model Railroad Club. Stephen Levy, author of Hackers, Heroes of the Computer Revolution.
The people who were working underneath the table, where on the top of the table there was a very elaborate train layout, called themselves hackers because they hacked away this very complicated system that ran the trains in a very sophisticated manner. Hacking meant fiddling around with technology in sort of an irreverent and makeshift way.
Previously, MIT students had used the word hack as slang for prank. Combining its roots in pranking and its use by the Tech Model Railroad Club pretty much encompasses what it means today. This original set of hackers happened to take the first undergraduate computing course at MIT, exploring these enormous, expensive, new toys literally around the clock. From this culture, a set of moral imperatives which Levy has dubbed the hacker ethic began to emerge.
Things that people thought that you couldn't and shouldn't do on computer, those are the things the hackers wanted to do. Hackers basically believe that all information should be free, that anything keeps you away from information should be surmounted.
As university computers began to connect to one another in the late 60s, so did the hacker. In 1975, a glossary of hacker terms was created called the Jargon File, proliferating hacker ideas and ideals. The term hacker expanded to include those who created open-source software, specifically designed to be shared and improved upon. Hackers began to explore other people's computers, too, sometimes with questionable legality. By 1983, with the release of the blockbuster movie War Games,
shall we play a game?
Popular culture had already hammered out a stereotypical notion of what a hacker is. Smart, alienated, prone to illegal activity, and borderline autistic.
Wow, where'd you get this?
I was trying to break into Protovision. I wanted to see the program for their new games.
Hey, wait, Jim, I'm not through yet.
Remember you told me to tell you when you were acting rudely and insensitively? Remember that? You're doing it right now.
War Games, about a teenager who hacks into a military supercomputer, triggering a nuclear panic, forever tainted the word hacker, even though it's never actually uttered in the film. 2 months after the release of the movie, the FBI raided a group of teenage hackers called the 414s. Named for their Milwaukee area code, the 414s broke into a number of high-profile computer systems. Comparisons to War Games were immediate, prompting media coverage like this from CBS's Nightwatch.
The effect came a little too close to fiction in Milwaukee recently. Some whiz kids actually managed to dial their way into a computer at a nuclear weapons lab in Los Alamos, New Mexico. The lab says no classified information was compromised. But the question remains, could it really happen?
17-year-old Neil Patrick self-appointed spokesman for the 414s, testified before Congress in September of 1983 about computer security concerns. Congressman Dan Glickman opened the proceedings by saying, quote, "We're going to show about 4 minutes from the movie War Games, which I think outlines the problem fairly clearly." Within months, a flurry of legislation was introduced specifically targeting this kind of intrusion, and in the public eye, the word hacker became synonymous with criminal. NYU assistant professor Gabriella Coleman says that by the late 80s, hackers started to try to reclaim the word.
Some hackers came up with the term cracker, which was meant to differentiate what a hacker means from a cracker, which is someone who breaks into a system maliciously or with malicious intent or engages in destruction or theft.
The hacker community wanted the media to make a distinction between hackers and crackers, but the distinction never stuck, partly because every self-respecting hacker has a different definition of the term. For instance, security-conscious hackers will say,
"You know, those free and open-source software developers, those are not hackers, because they're just building and tinkering." I've also heard among free and open-source software hackers who consider any form of transgressive hacking as that which doesn't qualify under the rubric of hacking, because hacking is only constructive. And so there are many times where people will point fingers and say, "Ah, that's not really part of the hacking community."
In the hacker community, hacker has always been something of an honorific, a title that cannot be self-proclaimed, only bestowed. If you call yourself a hacker, chances are you're not. Anonymous, the notorious collective of hacktivists implicated in some recent attacks, definitely contains some old-school hackers, but the majority use a pre-existing program called the low-orbit ion cannon to take down websites. The hacker community derisively calls these techno-opportunists script kiddies.
Script kiddie is such a great term to designate those participants, actors who may be engaging in something that looks like hacking, but doing so in the most kind of unthoughtful, unintelligent way, where you're just kind of using a tool to, let's just say, break into a system. It's sort of like a hacker wannabe without the technical skills.
In fact, in recent years, the word hack has been somewhat rehabilitated. Take, for example, Danny O'Brien, the technology journalist who works for the Committee to Protect Journalists. In 2004, he coined the phrase life hacks to describe applying the efficiency and creativity of hacking to things like making tea or setting your alarm clock.
I've been tracking how a lot of geeks seem to be incredibly productive. They all have these little sort of systems for organizing themselves. And so it seemed very sensible to call this life hacks because these were geeky people, they were hackers, and they were sort of applying this semi-scientific, semi-engineering approach to things like, you know, getting out of bed on time, which is something I find impossible.
Which is not to say that the hacker community necessarily appreciated it.
I have a small twinge of guilt because as soon as I coined this term life hacks, it became part of a pattern of the word hacks being over-applied or applied in ways that some people who use it don't necessarily agree with, right? As soon as people started thinking of these things as life hacks, people would post things going, "Oh, I found a new way of tying my shoelaces. I'm hacking my shoes right now."
When you go to Silicon Valley and you talk to startup people, they all talk about, "We want to hire hackers for our company."
Stephen Levy suggests that hack may be regaining its original meaning.
Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook says, "We want this to be a hacker company." You go to Facebook headquarters, there's big signs saying hack. And Facebook isn't breaking into other people's computers. They're talking about coming up with really good products, and those are the kinds of people they want.
I think we already have a more nuanced idea of the word hack compared to this very sort of one or the other idea that we had in the 80s.
Danny O'Brien says it no longer summons up mad scientists or hapless teens.
The word hacker internally in the subculture is incredibly subtle, and I do think that subtlety is gradually beginning to bleed into its use in the mainstream media, too.
But subtlety is not a media strong point. So what does this debate over the word leave us with? A mysterious set of evolving skills and shifting ethics, an annoying feeling of uncertainty, just like how many old media types feel about new media. But the media have to do a better job of distinguishing among actors in this ongoing drama. Otherwise, the only unambiguous hacks will be the reporters themselves. Well, you know what I mean. For On the Media, I'm Alex Goldman.
It's more than your compute. It's more than your compute.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Abdurkhman, Chris Neary, and Dylan Keefe, with more help from Doug Anderson and Gianna Palmer, and edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Rob Granis.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, and you can email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.